Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, welcome to the Phil Hendry Show. Bobby Dooley, who is the president of the Western States Parent Teacher Organization, is on the line with us for our weekly parenting tips feature on our program. Bobby, along with other parents, share things that they have learned. I know you're at LAX right now, Bobby.
We are, Phil. Steve and I are getting away for an early vacation to, we're very happy to say, Las Ventanas in Baja. It's a very exclusive resort, and we're really going to enjoy our stay there.
Well, you know, Marie and I are going off to Baja in a week, but we're not staying at Las Ventanas. That place is expensive, isn't it?
It is a little pricey, but there's an awful lot of Hollywood people that stay there, and it's a place where we're very comfortable, but we're going to enjoy it a lot.
Bobby, tell me about today's parenting tip having to do with kids relating to other kids who may be gay, other kids who may be sexually out in school. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
You know what? This is an idea that I initially had. I talked to Janice Greeley about this. She's with our steering committee at the Western Estates Homeowners Association. I have been reading so much about the gay marriages and gay people wanting to have their rights and so on and so forth. And there's also something called gay bashing, which the police have talked an awful lot about, where people say that gay people are hurt by certain words, if you call them, you know, queer or something like that. I was talking to Janice, and we had just wrapped up a rehearsal for our Falltacular. I said, you know, I was thinking about our parenting tip feature. Isn't it true that you can offend straight people with hate crimes, that you can offend and hurt straight people with hateful speech? And she said, I don't know what you mean. I said, well, listen, the term mother effer, which we all know what that is.
Right.
That is a hate crime against straight people, to call a straight person a mother effer if you are gay. Okay? So this is something, and Janice looked at me and she said, my God, that is very insightful. You need to go on Phil's show and put it into our newsletter. And that's really what I wanted to say. And it was born of an experience that we had. Our eldest son, Seth, was involved in an incident at school. And a boy called him a mother effer. And I said, who was it? And he said, it was Chad Kamen. Now, this Kamen boy had tried to start one of these gay clubs. Or one of these, you know, the groups?
Are you talking about he's a high school student and he's out with his sexuality?
Yes. And he asked the administration, can we do a gay club? And I thought about that, and I thought, that is really asking for, you know, a confrontation. And so Seth said, Mother, I thought so too. And Seth said something to this boy, and the boy came back with, well, you're a mother effer. So isn't that a hate crime? And so I've talked about this to our PTO. I've talked about this to our homeowners association. And it's opening up a lot of people's eyes. It really is. Because the gay student, as in the case of this Cayman boy, when you go out and say, I'm gay, 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 okay, that's well and good. But what about the other students who want to say that you're queer or you're a, you know, FAG, and then you turn around and call them a mother effer? That's also a hate crime.
All right, but, well, did Seth get into a confrontation with this Chad Kamen boy?
Yes, he did. But, you know, I've talked to the police about it. I'm going to have another conversation tomorrow. I'm pretty sure they're going to understand. Seth called the boy a fag, which I don't approve of, but the boy called him a mother effer. And I really don't approve of that. And Seth then got into a fight with him.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
When you say he got into a fight, did he hit the boy after he called him a mother effer?
You know, I really don't think that's important. And
I kind of do, because if the police got involved in this, the boy said, did the boy initiate this?
I don't, yes, he did, by his gay club. He initiated Seth eventually having to call him a fag.
And well, nobody has to call anybody a fag. No one has to say that.
I'm not blaming the boy. I'm blaming the parents of this boy. When you have a gay, you need to communicate to them that by being gay, they're inevitably going to be involved in a violent situation, and that's not thinking about the family. Yes, Seth hit the boy. But the boy hit Seth and other straight students with the gay club, but also, more importantly, mother effer.
All right, you're hanging a lot on this term mother effer as hate speech.
Yes.
Hate speech against straight people.
Absolutely. And I talked to Janice and I talked to some of the other mothers about it, and they were really, they said it was a real breath of fresh air. They really had their eyes open.
Right, let me give our number out here. It's 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Are you saying it was all right for your son to hit this kid? Because my understanding is he went to the hospital.
I don't think violence is ever the answer, Phil. But the boy initiated it by calling him a mother effer.
Well, you could also say that Seth initiated it by calling him a fag.
But that was in response to the boy running around school with his gay club. All right. So I'm not, so listen, I don't think violence is right. I really don't. But when is someone going to stick up for the straights and say, that's a hate crime? Now,
all right, what about the kids? Let's get down to the real question. What about this kid's parents? Now, the boy was hospitalized as a result of a beating given by your son, a fractured cheekbone, two fractured ribs. What are these parents going to think? My guess is it's a lawsuit.
Well, I don't think that's going to be the case, Phil. You know, parents are parents. I have a wonderful respect for all parents. I also have a great deal of experience speaking before our homeowners association and our PTO. Once I talk to the parents and I let them know that their son was beaten as a consequence of them allowing his gayness, then that...
Well, it's not a matter, I don't think, of people allowing a boy or a girl's gayness. That's who they are.
But they don't do anything about it. And then the boy runs around school saying, I want to do a gay club. I want to do this. I want to do that. And Seth did, I think, what a lot of young men who aren't thinking did. He looks at him and he goes, well, you're a fag. And then the boy insulted me. My sons are very much a part of my life. They very much respect and love me.
All right, so you see this, your son being called a mother effer, as an attack on you.
Oh, absolutely, and my son saw that too. I talked to the principal about all of this, and he listened to me, because I laid it out for him that calling a straight boy mother effer is indeed a hate crime. And you know what he did? He took my hand, he said, thank you, Mrs. Dooley, for making me aware of this. And I know that when I speak to the police tomorrow, we're all going to be on the same page.
All right, well, the bottom line is, you don't approve of your son beating up this boy, do you?
No, I absolutely don't.
And your son should be charged with a crime, don't you think?
That's the part I don't agree with. I it's wrong. And I think he needs a good talking to. I think the police should sit down with him and say, look, we understand where you're coming from. We're police officers. We have to deal with, you know, gay people, and we know how difficult they can be. But you can't solve your problems this way. And then, you know, let him go. There's a term they use for it, on your own recognition or your own
recognizance.
On his own recognizance. And then I'll speak with that boy's parents, and I'll say, look, the parents, I think they're Bill and Teresa, and I'll say, Bill, Teresa, look, it's wrong what Seth did to your son, but it's wrong for you to just release his gay nature out into the world like that.
And well, look, the kid's got to be who the kid has got to be, right?
Yes, but not to the point where it provokes a very good boy like my boy. Bill and Teresa have to realize they allowed their son to be gay, And so,
well, I don't know how you keep a kid from being gay if that's what he is. You know.
Yeah. What has happened to discipline? What has happened to?
Well, I don't know if it's a matter of discipline. I mean, how do you keep a banana from being a banana? You know.
Well, I don't get the analogy, but.
Well, I mean, how do you keep something from its essential nature?
What has happened to discipline? What's happened to a good old-fashioned trip to the woodshed?
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number. Bobby Dooley with us. He's the president of the Western Estates Parent-Teacher Organization, where her son was called a MF-er after he called some kid a fag, and he wound up beating this kid pretty bad. You say you disapprove, but you also understand.
No, I think you missed it. All I'm saying is calling a straight boy is as hateful as calling, for instance, a black, the N-word. And I don't want to say it because, you know, I have too much respect for people.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Shauna, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley.
Yeah, I feel that, you know, her son provoked this by calling him a fag because he disagreed with his sexual orientation and the group that he was trying to start. And the fact that he called this boy a fag first, and then that the boy responded back by calling him a mother effer, that was only in response to his, you know, retaliation to the boy's comment in the first place. For this boy to even go off and physically hit this other boy.
Are you a mother?
Pardon?
Are you a mother?
Yes, I am.
Well, then you absolutely understand what it's like to have someone say that your own son is having sex with you. Now, that's hateful. That's a hate crime against
straight
people.
No, it's not a hate crime. A hate crime is when you physically do something to somebody because of their sexual orientation, which is what your son did to this.
But
to
no,
this
but
gay
why
boy.
Did he attack my son's sexual orientation? Okay?
Well, by calling him a mother effer, but your son called him a fag first.
He did, yes. But as I stated in my opening comments to Mr. Henry, this boy ran around school saying, okay, we're going to have a gay club, everyone. And, you know, that's almost asking my son, who's on the varsity club. He's lettered in 3 sports. He takes a great deal of pride in his school.
What is it in your son's business, though, what this boy does?
I'm sorry? What is it my son's business? That's his school.
Okay, well, you know, my son plays sports as well.
I think
there are gay kids in my son's school, and it's none of my kids, none of my son's business what those kids do, as long as they are not directly affecting his life.
Well,
son imposed on this boy's life.
Yeah, I just don't understand why the gay boy intimidated my boy, or intimated that he was having sex with his own mother. And that
maybe your son's insecure in his own person of who he is.
Oh well, no,
that's why he felt like he had
fair.
To lash out.
That's not fair because the boy provoked it by
saying he was gay and wanted his own club.
Well, he said,
well, your
son
can go around and provoke these gay guys by saying, I'm a jock and I'm going to go around intimidating all these other kids that are smaller than me.
Well, no, everybody wants to be, I don't understand, everyone wants to be on the varsity club, but who wants to be in the gay club?
That's your opinion. That's not everybody's opinion because there are kids out there that probably feel alone.
Well,
want this club and want this.
Well, I think the boy provoked it by showing off his gayness and his gaiety with this club.
Well, this is where your son gets his ideas and where it's okay to hit other boys because of their sexual orientation.
No, I disagree.
Because of the way you feel about it.
I totally disagree.
You raised your children to be this way.
No, I have not. My boys know that violence is never the answer. And we've seen far too much of it in our world.
Well, that's not for you to fix, though.
I'm sorry. I just think that when you run into the world screaming, hello, I'm gay.
Well, I grew up in California, near San Francisco, where it's the largest gay capital in the United States. And it's very, it's one of these things where it's in our society, and we've got to accept it. And if you don't, it's only going to cause more trouble and more hate.
Yeah, Shauna, let me ask you something. What if my son started a club called the Really Handsome Boys Club? That would be it, provoking the uglier boys. Why?
See, I don't look at that.
Why do it? Why do it?
A lot of kids in school will do this. They will start their own clubs because they feel alone, and they feel like they're being discriminated against, and they want that companionship with other people that feel the same way.
Yeah, okay.
Well, and because your son's popular, and because your son has a name, and your son is out there being in the sports and playing all the games and being the popular one, and is not like everybody else, then he maybe feels, you know, I mean, that's not fair to this other boy or any other kid.
He's very good-looking. He's very popular. And sometimes he takes it upon himself to discipline the more aberrant, the more aberrant students.
All right, look, Shana, thank you for your call.
And it's not his place, too.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686 is our number here on The Phil Henry Show. We're talking with Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Her son got into a physical confrontation with a gay student. The gay student, apparently her son called the kid a fag. The other kid called Bobby's son a mother effer, and a fist fight ensued. Of which Bobby says it can be understood why her son hit this kid, because he's running around shouting his gayness. But more to the point, she says that calling a straight kid mother effer is a hate crime too, like calling a gay kid fag. And in some strange way, and I could be wrong, it sounds like she's forgiving this, her son's behavior. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Parenting tips with Bobby Dooley. She's the president of the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization, and she's on with us. We talk about parenting tips, Bobby. Are you advising parents? What are you advising parents here? That their sons should physically assault gay people?
Absolutely not, Phil, and I really find it hateful of you to say that.
Well, Ms. Dooley, I got to tell you, your son was called an MF-er, and I understand that, but he called this kid a fag. When the kid called him a mother effer, your son hit him.
My tips are these, the parenting tips that we have this week, and you didn't ask me, and if you had, I would tell you. If you are the parent of gay children, you have to be prepared, if you don't discipline them, into not running out into the world and saying, gay, 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 they're going to be involved. If you allow your child to be gay, you have to be ready for some kind of violence.
Oh, boy. Here is Robin.
Well, I don't know what you mean by, oh, boy.
Well, it just... Robin, go ahead.
I find it truly amazing that I can even hear from your mouth saying that you are that this other couple is allowing their son to be gay.
No. Yes.
I find it outrageous that you can even say those words. I mean, it's like saying to a black parent that they're allowing their son to be black. I mean, this is just
no. Here's the difference. Here's the difference. Of course, a boy or a girl will be black. But do they have to be so black that they're running around in African masks and so on and so forth?
If that is what they need to make them find themselves, yes. I mean, it's like, you know, my daughter,
I mean, what is
maybe
the point?
She wants to wear pink all the time. Maybe that offends somebody. But if she needs to find herself,
are you black?
Then that is what... No, I'm not.
Well, don't you find as a straight... Are you straight? You're straight, right? Don't you find it offensive when someone says, oh, you like to have sex with your own son? That's a hate crime.
I truly do not think that that boy meant that in that way. He was lashing back out at your son for having called him a fag.
Is your daughter black?
No.
So I don't know what you mean by the...
The lady was drawing an example. And what do you mean they run around with African masks?
I'm saying there's nothing wrong with being black. But do you have to go out and just be black, black, black until people say, oh my God, you're African, you know? It's the same thing with gays. Just be gay. Why be in a club?
He's trying to find
himself,
other people that maybe feel
him. I got to take a break. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
But we're going to do that.
All right, I'm talking with Bobby Dooley, and she is the president of the Western States Homeowners Association. You're catching a plane to Mexico, and so I know you're in a hurry.
Well, no, we're not in a very big hurry, but I know Phil, we're going to call our plane in about 20 minutes. We're excited. We're going to Las Ventanas in Baja. To give you an idea about Las Ventanas, Val Kilmer and some other actors were seen there recently, and so it's exciting. And
well, like I said, I don't have the kind of money for that trip, but the best of luck to you. I want to get to Robin was hanging on. Thank you, Robin. Excuse me. Hold on for a minute. Here is Robin. Robin, sorry we had to put you on hold. Go ahead with your comments.
No, I just feel that...
Is this the same lady I was speaking with?
Yeah.
Yes. I just feel... I'm really saddened to hear the comments...
Why are you saddened? I don't understand.
Because I truly see it is as a parent's responsibility enlighten their children
absolutely.
As to how to behave and how to tolerate, not even tolerate, that's
so
not right,
true.
How to accept
it's so true.
Other cultures.
Exactly, and that's what I'm trying to say.
Well,
why are the gays...
Well, it doesn't seem that way when you're trying to defend your son's actions as to what he did.
I'll give you an example, Robin. Steve and I are going down to Mexico here in about 20 minutes. I don't speak Spanish, neither does Steve, but you know what? You get by getting by, and when we go down there, I'll say to them, do you have a car? You know, I just talk to them directly in English, and they'll go, sí, señora, señora. I don't, in other words, compromise who I am.
Well, wait a minute. Are you saying because you don't speak Spanish in Mexico, you're not compromising yourself?
I see it as a compromise, yeah, as an American.
So, how is that different?
What?
You do not compromise yourself in Mexico.
Right.
How come you feel that gay boy has to compromise himself by changing his ways?
Why does my son have to compromise himself by looking at a gay?
He didn't have to do anything. All he had to do was ignore that boy.
Well, wait a second. You just said he has to compromise himself.
Wait, are you saying that your son is compromising who he is by not being able to call that boy a fag?
Oh, my God, you people are protecting this boy's right to call my son a mother effer, meaning he comes home, puts his mother's legs up in the air. You know, am I speaking to two parents?
I'm a parent.
Absolutely. And, you know,
and
I don't condone...
And my son, Seth, came home from being called a mother effer.
I do not condone saying names to anybody. If my son were to do that, he would be in huge trouble.
My son was confused. He thought he had had sex with me. He was absolutely mortified. He had...
Well, that boy has got some confused issues.
Yes, he does.
Well, no wonder. Just to say, why don't you go home and put your mother's rear end up in the air, lift her skirt...
You don't have to be that graphic, Ms. Dooley. We get exactly what the term is referencing. Listen, Robin, thank you for hanging on. We hope that we gave you an opportunity here. 1-800-449-8686. This is Gail. Go ahead, Gail. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that I got this straight.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make... Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. Thank you.
Okay. That you said that your son has a right to call the gay boy a fag because he wanted to start that club on campus?
Well, I'm saying if the boy's running around saying, look at me, I'm gay, gay, gay,
then we have a right.
And so Seth said, and I don't approve of what he said. Please don't get me wrong. I don't approve of any of this. But when I explained to his parents, and I got them on the phone, and I said, you know something? You know you brought this on by allowing that boy to just prance about.
What
oh
do you
my
say,
God.
Prance about? Is
oh,
this
my
like...
God.
Well,
are
no,
you
and
for real?
And am
are
I for
you
real?
For
I'm
real?
A mother
I'm
of
sorry.
Three sons. I'm a parent. I'm actively involved in our school.
And that's scary to me.
And you know,
I'm actively
well, are you?
Involved
are you?
In my school.
Are
yes,
you?
I am.
Are you? Are you? Well, are you involved in your school?
The lady has just said that she is.
You know what? If you would stop talking and listen to the people.
I'm listening to you.
No, you're not. You wouldn't even let me answer.
My son is afraid to swim in a pool with me. Do you know why? Because he's afraid he'll make an unconscious pass at me in my bikini. This is because of that gay boy.
Oh, really?
The gay boy.
My son has no problem. I have gay people in my family, and my son is perfectly comfortable.
Well, you know what? Maybe you're not. Maybe you don't look like I do in a bikini. I don't know. But what I'm trying to say is...
Can we get this off of your son's sexual or non-sexual feelings toward you, Ms. Dooley, and
you know
talk
what?
About the point that Gail is trying to make, and I think it's a good one.
Mr. Henry, I'm not going to be steamrolled by you and the callers on your program.
I'm not trying to do that, ma'am, but I want to know, did your son have the right to provoke that boy by calling him a faggot?
No. The answer to that is no.
All right. Therefore...
But you said he did.
No, I did not. I said I do not approve of Seth calling the boy. I think queer is acceptable. I think pillow biter is fine. I think fag is hateful.
Wait a minute.
Wow, so we're putting measures on words now.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you think it's okay to say to someone, boy, you're really silly? Is that all right to say to someone?
It sounds safe.
Okay, then what's wrong with saying to someone, why don't you go off and bite a pillow?
And what?
Bite a pillow.
Well, I don't even know what that means.
Well, all right. See? So it's fine.
Oh, I can tell you what it is, Gail. It's a derogatory reference toward gay men.
Okay.
Pillow, as in pillow biter.
The gay boy deserved a laptop to his jaw because my poor son thinks that he likes the incest.
Oh, my gosh.
Your son hit this kid with a laptop. All right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you're really eloquent.
You know what?
Oh, my God.
You are so unbelievable.
You know what? Come down to our school, Western States. Come down and see our school, the beautiful fountain. We've redone the circular driveway.
You know what? All I'm hearing is how great.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? There you go again.
What am
all
I doing
I'm hearing,
again?
You won't be quiet.
I'm listening
I'm
to everything
is
you're
how
saying,
great.
Gail.
All I'm hearing is how great, you know, you're going to this place down there and how all these famous people. What's that got to do with the topic that we're talking about?
If we were going to Mexico. I said yes.
I mean,
we're going to the usual place we go to, which is Las Ventanas in Baja.
Great. I don't give a rip. What has that got to do with your son?
Gail, you say you know about the PTO and all, but you're so really uninformed. You don't know what a butt pirate is?
You know what?
You know what a butt pirate is?
I have two gay people in my family.
All right.
We don't use those terms.
It's not derogatory. You can say...
Yes, it is.
No, it is not.
We don't use those terms.
You can say, oh, you silly butt pirate, and people don't get offended.
Look, fag carries a certain hateful connotation. Thank you, Gail. 1-800-449-8686. Queer is also very hateful. Butt pirate and terms like that are dismissive, derogatory, pejorative. They're insulting and every bit as much, at least every bit as much maddening, I think, to the people that hear them.
Mr. Henry, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When did you start having your thing sucked by a...
Wait a minute. Are you saying that I'm gay?
Well, you certainly know an awful lot about it.
Let me go to Jim. Hi, Jim. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. How are you doing tonight?
Yes, sir. Fine, sir.
This is a... Sam, do you consider yourself racist?
I like to think I'm a good entertainer. I keep a beautiful home. People love to come to our
home. No. Answer the question. Are you racist?
Oh, I thought you said gracious. I'm sorry. Am I racist? No, not at all. No.
You sound like it because being against homosexual people, you're racist. When you're talking about black people being black, until you say, oh my God, they're African. And
well, no.
Gay boys, homosexual boys.
Mm-hmm. What I'm saying, Jim, is this. I accept everybody for who they are. I have a great many very, very dear and close personal friends that are Mexican. It's just that when they run around screaming it to everyone.
What are you going to do down in Mexico? Call everyone a Mexican? Hey, you Mexican, come here?
No, absolutely not.
That's racist.
We're going to a very exclusive resort.
I don't care where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could be going to Canada for all I care. I don't care where you're going on vacation. Who started the slurs between your son and this boy?
That's the question.
I said the boy called my son a mother effer.
First.
I don't know. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Okay, who threw the first punch?
Well, my son, the other boy was gay, so he's not going to be a very
good fighter. I don't care if he's gay or not. Who punched who first?
Well, who do you think? My son's straight and the other boy's gay. Who do you think threw the punch?
Wait a minute. What is that supposed to mean? So gay guys don't like to duke it out, huh?
Well, I don't. Again, Mr. Andy, you seem to be very familiar with the homosexual lifestyle.
Well, okay. I'll answer the question for you, Jim. Her son punched this kid when the kid called him an MF-er, and the kid called him an MF-er after the son said, "You're a fag." So that's
then
what
her
happened.
Then her son should get charged with assault and battery. Flat and simple, ticket it and put in juvie hall.
Theoretically,
that's
you're right.
Simple.
Theoretically, you're right. But when I explain the situation to the police, I'm sure they'll understand.
Yeah, that's your racist.
No, they'll understand that my son, you know, saw a fag and decided he...
Oh, the cops are going to understand that? The cops are going to say everything's good?
My son Seth saw red when that gay said that he intimated that my son put my rear end up in the air every day after school and went...
What is it with you?
That's incredible. That's like me calling you a pinhead. And oh my God, right there, I'd have to be some kind of racist, or it's got to be a sexual slur. It's not.
Exactly.
It's being a pinhead is narrow-minded. You are very narrow-minded.
Exactly.
Because you are so racist against everyone if they're not.
No, all I said was, I didn't like the word fag. I said he could have called him a butt pirate or something like that.
That's the same thing.
Oh my God, it's the same thing, and yet it's
okay. I'm a truck driver. Okay, I'm driving down the road.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a slogan for that. It's called Over the Tank Frank. But that's beside the point. You are so narrow-minded that, for goodness sake, if you are not white...
Over the Tank Frank. All right. Is it Over the Tank Frank, or is it Over the Tank Jim?
What I'm saying is, if you're not a Caucasian...
I don't get it. Why can't you say to somebody, oh, you pillow-biting queen, and not have them get all hateful?
Your son didn't say that.
Then why would your son get hateful when he's called a mother effer?
That's hate speech. That's saying straight people...
Says you damn fake.
I don't get it.
Look, Bobby, there's certain words that carry with them hateful connotation. The N-word, fag. These are words that perceived by the like if you called an Indian a prairie N-I-G, and you can spell the rest.
G-E-R.
I know how to spell it.
Jim, how many times have you gotten free pie at a truck stop because you gave some pleasure to some hoochie mama waitress?
Absolutely, absolutely never. I've been married 18 years and never once, so much as kissed another woman other than my wife. In 18 years.
Oh, my God, you really love to lie, don't you?
I believe the man. I believe you, Jim.
You really love lying. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Some hoochie mama at a...
All right, listen, thank you very much, Jim. I'm going to take another phone. We got to take a break or take another phone call here, and then we'll let you go, Bobby.
Because our plane is, I'm told it's going to be leaving soon.
All right. Tabitha, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I just wanted to make my point to her whether we have the right to let our children judge others. I wish you would quit that and listen to somebody for a moment. Is that the best thing that you have?
No, I'm listening.
You're listening. The point is that who are we to judge to be able to, are we going to set the rules to have our children be able to judge other children? Who gives us that right?
Well, you don't
have that right. Are you going to raise your children to judge other people because they're different?
Look, Tabitha, I don't judge your parents because they named you after a sitcom actress or a character. You know what I'm saying?
First of all, lady, I was not named after a sitcom actress.
Weren't you named after Tabitha Montgomery?
I would be glad that my name was Tabitha because I'm different.
Wait a minute.
How many Tabithas do you know? My name is different.
The other one was the little girl on I Dream of Jeannie.
Bewitched. And the actress was Elizabeth Montgomery, not Tabitha Montgomery. And it was the little girl. What's this got to do with anything?
The point is, she goes through life with a weird-ass name and nobody says anything. My boy throws off the word fag and suddenly he's hate-filled.
So I have a weird-ass name because my name is Tabitha. I love my name because I'm different. I don't have a common name like Robin.
Well, what do they call you? What do they call you for short? Tabby? As a cat?
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
Because I have gorgeous blue eyes.
Oh, my God.
You are so illiterate. You are so uneducated to let your child... Your child's going to grow up and wind up being a little thug.
Hey, Tabitha. Meow.
That's my husband. Shut up. Tabitha, all I'm saying is...
Oh, you guys are really mature, huh?
You know what? I think he started in. We got a sampler of Don Julio tequila. And I think Steve started in on it. You saved me some, you bad boy. Tabitha, my idea is this. A 50-day moratorium on anyone identifying themselves as gay, just so we can cool down and not provoke straight varsity club members. What do you think?
I don't have it, as far as anything being provoked. I mean, I shall see where we have the right to judge someone else because they're different from you or your son or your husband or anybody else in your family.
You know, you are cute. You are really cute. I bet you're a doll, aren't you?
I really am a doll, and you're very ignorant.
You know what, Tabby? Why don't you fly out to Mexico and meet Steven?
Oh, shut up. Go have your freaking sampler of Don Julio tequila.
I would love to bring her down to Georgia and show her what people like us that have class have been raised right due to people like her that are ignorant.
Well, Tabitha, I lived in Georgia, and a lot of nice people. Hold on for a minute. Yes?
Don't you ever hang up on me again, okay? You son of a bitch. How short are you, Daisy Dukes? Tabby. Oh, the bitch has got her phone.
All right, get out of here.
Oh, I know she didn't call me a bitch.
She called you a bitch. You ready for that? She said that it...
Why do you have your radio turned up when the host says you're not supposed to?
She's just showing her ignorance.
Are you drunk?
Oh, I'm not supposed to be drunk. My vacation? Jesus, what a tight ass.
Yeah, she's...
Hey, Tabby, mommy's got some catnip.
Oh, they're, you know what? They're drunk. I'm sorry.
How brilliant
yeah,
was that? It's like,
you're
oh,
right.
Tabby, I've got some cat.
I know. It's Tabitha. I'm sorry. They're drunk. They're on their way to Mexico.
I know. You know, it's funny to me because I love hearing someone show their true ignorance.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Get a couple of drinks in somebody and they sound just like an utter jackass.
Exactly.
Boy, will you put them on hold, please? All right, Tabitha, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. The Dooleys strike again. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, guys, listen, Ash Wednesday is coming up, and if your husband's Catholic, why not get him the Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue set? Get it? Ash Wednesday barbecue? No, seriously, you know, it'd be a fun... Why not give gifts on Ash Wednesday? You got to walk around with a smudge on your head. Why not get a present for it? So go to the Ted's of Beverly Hills shop in our souvenir shop at www.philhenryshow.com. And we should be giving out those Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue sets for Ash Wednesday. That's the new thing. Go there, order a barbecue set for your man or your lady, and give it to her for Ash Wednesday. And maybe she'll give you a piece of ash. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8688. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I wanted to start off with Life Imitates Phil. This is a feature that we are doing on our show, and this has to do with the fact that we see so many stories now that are similar to bits we did 2 or 3 years ago. And I don't know, man. I don't know if it's worth money or if it's going to make us rich and beyond our wildest dreams. If people will remember us like Napoleon for centuries afterward, if they'll keep our penises in a jar, I don't know. All I know is that we do a bit, and then a year later, it actually happens in life. Here's an example. This is an example of Life Imitates Phil. Dear Phil, I certainly didn't want you to miss this story. Quote, when United Airlines' new low-fare carrier takes flight Thursday, passengers will hear its zany name, Ted. There will be Ted sandwiches and Ted salads for sale. Television, TV shows, and Ted tunes music will entertain. Now, the writer goes on to say, this certainly seems actionable by Teds of Beverly Hills, unless, of course, Ted Bell has a piece of it already. Love what you do, Rob. Well, it just so happens that Ted Bell, in November of 2001, in talking about the fear of flying post 9/11, said he had a plane. And guess what the name of his plane was? Well, on the side of it, he had Ted.
I think it's pretty insulting to the people that do fly these jets. I'd challenge him to fly the jets himself, the commercial jets, and then make the comparison.
Well, sir, first of all, I'm Ted Bell. I'm the gentleman that was speaking. I bought a commercial airtime on this program, and I wasn't aware that people were allowed to call in and disagree with me. Is that good?
Yes, of course they are.
So this man, your name is sir?
Yes.
And you're disagreeing with me?
Absolutely. I fly every other week commercially.
Hold on, but I have to...
What are you doing?
There has to be a commercial if he's going to disagree.
Turn it off. The man has the right to disagree with you.
All right, well, about you first. You fly commercially, is that correct?
Every other week, yes, I do on business.
Well, then, see, you've got the... You have the balls.
It's not a question of balls. It's not a question of balls. It's a question of people having the right...
It's a question of balls.
Having the right to make a decision not to fly. People are terrorized. Companies are advising people not to fly. DuPont, I know, has gone on and said no flying unless it's absolutely mandated.
I hear what
it's
you're saying about it. I hear
it's
what
a question
you're
of bread earners putting themselves on the line.
But I think it's time for all of us, Ivanka, myself, yourself, to get on that plane and tell those terrorists you can take it and you can park it way up your butt because we're going to fly. And that's what we're doing.
Yes, but Ivanka and me and the rest of the people who are listening tonight, we fly commercially. Ivanka, you'll be flying commercially, correct?
Absolutely.
And why
do you keep bringing that up?
You're on a charter jet with your dogs and your wife.
They can be hijacked.
Oh, how do you know it's Lee, your wife? This was your big hijack threat.
We got a problem with the disc. I'm sorry, guys. It sounds like it's skipping. Is it the machine? Is it the disc? Was it burned properly? Was it not burned properly? There you go. Mark, my engineer, Mark Newman, my good friend, is wiping it off on his shirt. That'll do it. That'll clean it right up. You want to try it again? Try it one more time. Now, Ted's talking here about a plane, a commercial plane that he bought. And on the side it says Ted of this plane. And this was inspired, I don't know, but the bit's called Life Imitates Phil. American or United Airlines has a new low-fare carrier called Ted. That's what's written on the side of the plane as well.
I think it's pretty insulting to the people that do fly these jets. I'd challenge him to fly the jets himself, the commercial jets, and then make the comparison.
Well, sir, first of all, I'm Ted Bell. I'm the gentleman that was speaking. I bought a commercial airtime on this program, and I wasn't aware that people were allowed to call in and disagree with me. Is that good?
Yes, of course they are.
So this man, your name is Ivanka, sir?
Yes.
And you're disagreeing with me?
Absolutely. I fly every other week commercially.
What are you doing?
There has to be a commercial if he's going to disagree.
Turn it off. The man has the right to disagree with you.
All right, well, about you first. You fly commercially, is that correct?
Every other week, yes, I do on business.
Well, then, see, you've got the... You have the balls.
It's not a question of balls. It's not a question of balls. It's a question of people having the right to make a decision not to fly. People are terrorized. Companies are advising people not to fly. DuPont, I know, has gone on and said no flying unless it's absolutely mandated.
I hear what you're saying.
It's a question of bread earners putting themselves on the line.
But I think it's time for all of us, Ivanka, myself, yourself, to get on that plane and tell those terrorists you can take it and you can park it way up your butt because we're going to fly. And that's what we're doing.
Yes, but Ivanka and me and the rest of the people who are listening tonight, we fly commercially. Ivanka, you'll be flying commercially, correct?
Absolutely.
Why do you keep bringing that up?
You're on a charter jet with your dogs and your wife.
They can be hijacked.
Oh, how do you know it's really your wife? This was your big hijack threat. Did they kidnap her and put on a skirt and a wig?
You know, my wife's been losing her hair. I wish you hadn't have said that.
Not a question of balls. It has nothing to do with balls.
Yeah, but look at Mr. Henry. Look at me. We fly all over the ding-dang place.
No, sir, you're flying a private jet, and my assertion is it's not the same thing at all.
All right, Ivanka, I want you to consider this. I fly a jet that right across the side says Ted's of Beverly Hills with a steer painted on the nose of the jet. Don't you think if you were a terrorist, you'd like to take a little pot shot of that?
I think the terrorists are looking to knock out a little jet out of the sky. These terrorists are looking to inflict serious terror, which causes 5,000 people to perish. Not a little jet.
Do they eat pork? No, they do not, because they're Muslim. And I, my specialty this week is the standing pork roast.
Meaning what?
I was.
What the hell is this guy? Are you fruity or something? I mean,
Phil, I don't like being laughed at when I came on your radio station and I endorsed you for flying and I said that you were brave. And now you're
telling me that the Taliban wants to shoot your jet out of the sky because your special this week is the standing pork roast?
I have been made fun of. I have been laughed at by this gentleman, Avanza. Not once have I mentioned that you're probably Muslim yourself, aren't you, Avanza?
What's that again?
Are you a Muslim or are you Hindu?
I'm a Hindu.
Okay, then that's not a problem. Oh, no, wait, you don't eat meat, so there's a whole trip there.
Well, whatever.
Now you're bringing, what does that have to do with it? I'm as American as anybody else.
Okay, there it is.
It has nothing to do with anything of that kind.
But wait a minute, I own a steakhouse, and you don't like the fact that I slaughter cows. Okay, that's another commercial.
So what?
Right. Turn it off. Turn that off.
Then if I slaughter cows that you worship...
I eat cows, so there.
Oh, all right, I thought the Hindu...
No, don't go there. You don't have a point. You don't have a point, and you're trying to get off on ethnic and nothing to do with anything. Nothing to do with anything.
Sure, it is ethnic, and I'll tell you why. Because the people that want to shoot Ted Bell out of the sky, or Mr. Henry out of the sky, or any other American who wants to travel, they're Muslims.
They're terrorists, Ted. You're making the same mistake that so many Americans make. It's got nothing to do with religion. These are perverse people who simply use religion the way some people use a gun. They just pull whatever ammunition they want into that vehicle.
These are irrational people.
Absolutely. Any guy that flies a plane and kills people, that's absolutely irrational. That's why all of us, whether we fly a private charter that we can get warmed up within 5 minutes, or we fly a commercial jet that we have to stand in line for 6 hours, we're all in this together.
No, we are not.
No, we are not.
To knock out a private jet.
Yeah, no, we are not. It's absolutely
a huge airliner that was capable of bringing up a building and 5,000 people.
Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you ate a porterhouse steak? When's the last time you ate a porterhouse steak?
What does that have to do with this?
I'm going
to
tell you, a porterhouse steak is going to put a smile on your face. You come out to Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'm going to treat you to a dinner, you and your lovely wife.
Oh, man.
Boy, okay.
I'm going to hang up. I think I've made my point.
I don't blame you.
Well, that's insulting.
Yeah, there's Ted. That's from November 2001. That's 2.5 years ago, right after 9/11, when everybody was afraid of flying. You remember those days? And Ted said, even though he flies a private commercial jet and we all stand in line for hours on end to get on our jets, we're all in this together. Yeah. I like that whole thing about a Muslim can hijack a private jet, disguise himself as Ted's wife, put a wig on. Oh, okay. That's Life Imitates Phil. So if you see that United Airlines Ted jet, you know where they got the idea. I don't know if they're, ripping us off, but just stuff seems to happen after we talk about it. I don't know. Must be our intelligence. It must be our creative natures. It must be our sense of our prognosticative ability. Or it could be the serious drugs that we take. I don't know. All right, 1-800-449-8686. It's probably the drugs. Now, coming up is Jeff. I'm joking about the drugs. Jesus, now here comes the mail.
You know, I really think it was wrong. We really love your show.
You want to hear a story? Let me tell you a story before the break. See, I'm standing there and I'm talking to two ladies that are friends of my wife. And we're at some function. It was a deal. My wife's in a Republican Women's Party Club thing. So, and I go to it. And anyway, I'm standing there and I said, well, here's what I say to my son. You know what? While you're in our house, while you're under our roof, and while you're living according to our rules, even though you're over 18... you are not to do any of those things. If I find out about it, I'll throw you out in the street, man, because he's 18. You're not to smoke dope, use drugs at all. You want to drink? You drink inside the house, okay? Wine with dinner. Yeah, that's right. I know he's under 21, but guess what? He's over 18 in our house with dinner. If he wants a glass of wine, that's fine. So I said, but after he's 18 and after he moves out, hell, he can do whatever he wants. And they looked at me and they went, you're advising your son to smoke marijuana? And they had this real serious look like they were going to report me to Child Protective Services. They had that frightening, ever more familiar look, that increasingly more familiar face that we all see on our friends and neighbors, where they're just waiting to call the cops or Child Protective Services or some state agency to rip you a new one because you stepped over the line. And you know what I did? I fumfered around. I, well, no, I should have said, yeah, that's exactly what I said. When he's out of the house and he's over 18, he can do what he wants. What am I going to do about it?
Will you advise him?
I said I'm not advising him to, but I'll tell you this much. The fact is, you know, either he rebels when he's a teenager or he rebels when he's 35. Kids, it's a healthy thing, I hate to tell you this, for people to be interested in things that are even, yes, contraband. It's a healthy thing for people to be interested in walking on the wild side a little bit. It shows a healthy, curious nature. You don't want them to kill themselves. You don't want them to use drugs. You don't want them to do all of this stuff. But you can't keep them from doing it either if they're intent on doing it. And what I say then to try to mitigate that reality is, as long as you're in our house and under our roof, you will not do any of those things. Over 18? Have at it, man. It's a big world. It's a big, beautiful world, brother. And, you know, it seems to work okay for us, but Jesus, that's the last time I bring it up in mixed company, other than the fact that I'm broadcasting it now to millions of people. But what's that got to do with anything? Who's listening? 1-800-449-8686. Coming up is Dr. Jeff Dowder with an interesting pamphlet that he's written called Can Homosexuals Become Straight? Dr. Jeff Dowder with us on The Phil Henry Show coming up.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Well, didn't you hear the big news? A-Rod's going to the Yankees. Gee, it seems like only yesterday he was going to the Texas Rangers, where he hit .298. He hit 47 dingers, 118 ribs. Not bad. It ain't bad, really. That's the numbers that, like, a good player will rack up. But this cat, for some reason, is worth like $85 billion every second he's on the planet Earth. So they're paying big dollars for him. And the Yanks have got him now. Well, congratulations, Steinbrenner. You got yourself another ring. You're going to win another World Series. And you'll get into another World Series and lose it to some team from somewhere. And no one's going to remember the series and nobody's going to care. Way to go, George. You're spending a lot of money on an increasingly irrelevant sport. Oh, God. God, how I miss football. Oh, God, how I miss it so. Why is it only 16 games a year? When was the Super Bowl? 2 weeks ago? It seemed like eons. And guess what we've got to put up with now? You got it. Spring training. And all of those geeks. Oh, the catchers and pitchers are gathering in February. And then And you want to sit there and you want to just drink rat poison. You want to just, thank you, that's great, really, the pitchers and catchers? Watch this. No, don't do it, Phil! Oh, you know, I love summer, man. It's my favorite season. It's my favorite time of the year, summertime, because it's really, I like it when it's hot. I like to swim. I like, you know, you wouldn't know it to look at me because I'm fat, although quarter slim. I don't want to get in the cheap plug, but you know what? I think I will. I think I will get in the cheap plug. I'm telling you right now, I was walking down the hall, and didn't I say this, Janice? My pants are falling down. I can't keep them up. I got my hands in my pocket. Otherwise, my pants are on the floor. So, you know, I'm telling you right now, but you'll hear the commercials. Anyway, I like to swim, and I love all that beautiful stuff, and we have our annual summertime barbecue. And I think I'm going to have a band at this one this summer, you know. But anyway, that's the only thing I like about summer. Baseball. Baseball. And now we got to put up with it. It's going to start, and it's going to be ad nauseum. You're going to have to read all those columns in the newspapers. Oh, here comes this team, and here comes that team, and here's what's wrong with us. And you ought to be living in L.A. these days. The Dodgers can't do a thing right. The new owner's a piece of crap, and the moves he made are a piece of crap, and the general manager's a turd, but why do you treat him so badly? And, oh, whatever happened to the Dodgers of old, baby, the O'Malley days. Yeah, well, guess what? It's over, baby. It's dead. Dead. This is a new day. It's a new time, man. The new owner is, what's his name? Frank McCourt? I hear he's a decent guy. Is he going to spend $190 million on a payroll? Maybe not. Guess what, baby? Those days are over, okay? You're just going to have to suck on it. You're just going to have to take, you know, take what you can. Life now, man, is just scouring the gutters for cigarette butts you can smoke, okay? maybe turn in some coupons, maybe bring in some bottles, get a few dollars. That's it, man. That's the only fun you got left. That's baseball now. That's what being a Dodger fan is, turning in your empties. Turning in your freaking empties. What are you going to do? You going to cry about the O'Malley's not being the owners of the... They ain't the owners of the team anymore, so forget about it. And good riddance to Fox. Holy God, whatever made you people think that you could own a baseball team? You do a very good job running a network, one that I'm very proud to be associated with producing a pilot. But anyway, what made you guys think you could run a baseball? You too, Disney. The day you guys got out of baseball, it was a red-letter day. Not that I care. Not that I will ever care. So now A-Rod's a Yankee. Well, sooner or later, they all wind up there, don't they, man? They all wind up in New York pinstripes. Name a guy that's good, he's going to be a Yank. Name some cat who's good, he's going to be yanking it. He'll be in New York pulling on it. And A-Rod, what are they going to give this guy? $40 million? He was made $22 million last year. How long was he with the Rangers? 1 year? He had a decent year, $298 million. It's fine. I don't know what to say anymore. You know, what am I supposed to say? I thought I knew baseball. What do I know about it? I don't know anything about it. 298, Phil. Oh, yeah, okay. You don't understand, Phil. The big power hitters of old, I don't know, man. It wasn't too long ago. Guys were, you know, what was freaking, what's his ass hitting at? Freaking the kid down in San Diego. What's the guy's name? Tony something or other. Remember the kid? Tony Gwynn. Tony was banging around 360, 370, 380. You know, $20 million a year. This guy's 298. 47 ribs, or 47 dingers. Okay, fine. Seems to me there was a cat by the name of Sosa and another big, tall geek named Bonds who were jacking it out at 70 a year. And I'm supposed to get all hot and sweaty and grab myself over 47? And the cat gets 20, 30, 40 million a year over this. Then he hits 118 ribbies. Good for you, Ace. All I got to say is, who's your agent, man? Because I'm hiring. And he wanted number three, but you know what they said? No, 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 no. That's Babe Ruth's number, baby. Nobody gets that. And A-Rod said, who's he? And they said, just don't even worry about it. What are you talking about? My name's A-Rod, man. I won number three. You ain't getting number three. It's Babe Ruth. I never heard of him. You don't have to have heard of him. He was a big guy. Did he play for the Yankees? Yeah, he would have played for the Yankees if he wanted his number. Jesus. Okay, well, have my agent negotiate the whole thing, the number thing, man. Who's Lou Gehrig? He was another Yankee. Could I get his number? No. No. Casey Stengel? No. Yogi Berra? No. Mickey Mantle? Sure. Reggie Jackson's is available. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jeff Dowder, how homosexuals can become straight. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I don't want to, you know, this Paris Hilton video is just, it's like some stories are not really stories. For instance, I'll give you an idea what's not a story. Bush's National Guard duty and Kerry's supposed affair. The only thing keeping that crap alive is some guy in a newspaper someplace or at a TV network who's really just pining away for a Pulitzer or an Emmy. Man, they want it bad. You know, we got a generation of reporters who grew up reading about the exploits of Woodward and Bernstein. That's seriously. We got a generation of reporters who grew up reading of the exploits of Geraldo Rivera busting into that nut house in upstate New York with a camera and really the derring do of reporters and journalists who, you know, busted some serious stories. And there ain't no story to bust these days. So they're trying to make, you know, they're looking into this, that, or something. There's nothing there, man. Why don't you guys, I don't know what you could do. See, it's all going to pay TV anyway, man. It's all going over to cable, right? Nobody's reading your newspaper. Nobody's reading your funky little column. I'm sorry, man. I mean, I realize it was a noble pursuit, but, you know, I don't think there's anything noble either about you dummying up some phony story about a guy in his National Guard or the chick that he had an affair with or the this or the that. You guys do more to misinform and stupidize the American people. I didn't like that word. I dig that. Get stupidized with Phil Hendry. Evening, 7 to 10. You do more to turn the collective brain matter of the American people into the substance of what comes out of a dog's ass than any human beings in the history of this world. You guys do nothing to enlighten, nothing to educate, nothing to inform. Your newspapers are now nothing more than opinion sheets. Your reportage is tabloid-esque. But I've had cocktails with a few of you. You're very nice guys. So we got this Nikki, what's her name? Paris Hilton, okay? Get a load of the ex-boyfriend, some guy named Salmon Head or something. What's his name? Slaloman?
Rick Solomon.
Slap your ham? What?
Rick Solomon.
Rick Slapaham. Oh, Rick Solomon, okay. And Rick Solomon, he decided, I can make some bread with this thing. And now the guy's all like ching-chinging up the bread on how much every video that goes out, what's coming in, which car he's going to buy, which house he's going to buy, which house he's going to lease. And he's just suddenly realized that far be it from him to, you know, be indiscreet, but I mean, you know, a dollar's a dollar and 10 bucks is 10 bucks and 100 million's 100 million. And he's going to release this videotape of him and his girlfriend having sex. Now, I don't know how to break the news to you, Mr. Slap Your Ham, but dig this and dig it good, man. I ain't going to pay to see your skanky-ass ex-girlfriend or you bald-headed freak, and your hairy back. What are you talking about, man? Hey, dude, I'd rather see the Pamela Anderson tape. Now, there you're getting an eyeful. Two eyefuls, if you don't watch out. Stay a little clear of the action. I'm going to watch you and Paris Hilton, man. You got to be a hard up. But here's the thing, and tell me if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I hate to break the news to a lot of you celebs who think your ass looks so hot on a video cam, but if it was Margaret Thatcher, he'd make $100 million. You think I'm wrong? I got money, says I'm right, $100 million. If it was Margaret Thatcher having sex with, you know, her husband... Jesus, just the thought of that is beyond, it's beyond outer space, isn't it? It's like Plan 9 from outer space. But what if there was actually a tape in existence of that? Margaret Thatcher and her husband.
Sex tape made available. This is the BBC, Roger Quinton reporting. The ex-prime minister said she is outraged and shocked that a private videotape of herself and her husband hunching it in a public park in front of children and nurses, in front of nannies and au pairs, is quite beyond the pale. This reporter went into the house where the aforementioned sexual activity took place and saw some very interesting, shall we say, phallic-shaped ice in the ice box. Now, I am gay, and of course I've never made any bones about that, if you'll pardon the term bone.
All right, so here's the thing. Dr. Laura having sex. Forgive me, Laura, but you know what the point I'm trying to make here. It would all make $100 million. It's got nothing to do with the desirability of the person on the tape. It has to do with the notoriety of the person. Now, you ask me, would you watch... Yeah, I'd watch the Pamela Anderson tape. I think she's pretty hot-looking. I mean, I personally would not have sex with her because she's got hepatitis. You'll pardon me, Ms. Anderson. I don't mean to be offensive. I think you're a very attractive woman, but I'd like to live. I'd like to live a long and healthy life. Well, what, am I stupid? What are you... Would you, Pelton? Yeah, you would. You'd risk death.
Dude, there's condoms.
Dude, it's like taking a shower with a raincoat on, just like your daddy said. Well, I don't know. Laura, let me ask you this. Hi, I'm Pamela Anderson. I have AIDS. Would you like to have sex with me? There are condoms. Is that what you're telling me? No, I don't think that's what you want to say to me. All right, if you are telling me that, then you might want to not make it public. Hillary Clinton having just sex with Bill, it would make $100 million. It's the Right now, man, celebrity isn't enough. We want celebrity that is graphic, that is right up close and personal, that's right up into the pores of the people. Do you ever watch, one of another reason why I can't stand baseball, and I mean I hate it, is the way the networks cover it. Especially during the playoffs, when they take the camera and they stick it right up Joe Torre's nose, so you can see every hair. Have you ever seen that? And you can see them spitting and little bits of dribbling peanut comes out of the mouth. And you, when he smiles, you can see all the tobacco stains on his teeth. Jesus, how close do you want me to get? Well, we want you to see the drama. We'll see the tension etched on his face. Yeah, you know what? It ain't that entertaining for me. Show me the freaking game. But we got to do that, you know, we want to get right in there. And you think I'm kidding, but I guarantee this is going to be a Life Imitates Phil. They're going to be, there's going to be a reality show, Bowel Movements of the Stars. And they're going to go into homes with toilet cams. And the stars, the celebrities, will actively participate. We're in the home now of Tom Hanks. Tom, how you doing? Real good, real good. Well, I took this one this morning, and you can see... Well, oh, yeah, you're being really stupid now. Oh, am I being really stupid? Yeah, you're being really juvenile and silly. Haven't you got any other kind of material? Wait a second. What are you talking about? Did you ever think that there was going to be a show featuring midgets getting married? Did you ever think there's going to be a show featuring some guy in his underwear, my big, fat, sloppy fiancé and all of that? Did you ever think those shows were going to be... If I would have said that 3 years ago, you would have said I was nuts. Did you ever think that there'd be shows featuring, what was that one? Who wants to marry a million? Who wants to have sex with a midget? Who wants to do my dwarf brother? Yeah. It ain't that far off at all. The Bathroom Habits of the Stars. It's going to be happening, and I guarantee you this, it'll be on CBS. Because those guys, if you think that all of this crap that's been coming down about CBS over the last few days, whether it's that Janet Jackson bull crap or anything else, if you think that it's all been an accident or it's been a mistake or they've just fumbled into it or, oh my God, they're just so shocked, then, brother, you need a serious vacation. And it'll be the new Anna Nicole show. Come on along. I just dropped the kids off at the pool. And it's about time for, you know, about 8 o'clock in the morning. I just had some bran. And you want to know something else? That would get a 90 share. See, folks, you don't want to believe it about yourselves. I don't want to believe it about myself. A show called The Bowel Movements of the Stars would get a 90 share. It would make nothing but money. And if the guys that run, it would make nothing but money. It sounds disgusting, but it would make nothing but money. I guarantee it. Do you know the business? You're certainly aware of the fact that porn last year, what was it, Chris? How many billion? $8 billion last year?
Oh, $6 billion last year, man.
$6 billion. Thanks for keeping up on that. And $6 billion, the porn industry. You know who some of the biggest customers are? Females. Women are accessing porn at an all-time record clip. Everything we ever thought or wanted to believe about ourselves is going out the window. Because we all knew it was bullcrap anyway. See, would you tell a poller, would you tell a pollster, would you tell some guy who's, you know, are you religious, are you not, do you love your kids, you're not, you lie to them. You know that, don't you? Of course you do. Or you tell them what you'd like to believe about yourself. But the bottom line is, you know, actions speak louder than words, as our dear departed grandmas used to say. And a show like that would get a 90 share. And here is even more to the point. There'd be screaming and yelling and outrage. But I'm going to tell you something. The Janet Jackson thing that happened at the Super Bowl is the beginning of a trend in television. There will be nudity in TV, but they're going to put it where it can be accessed by adults and not kids. And I'm not talking about cable. But that's not the end of it. That's the beginning. Janet Jackson showing us the right breast. And frankly, it wasn't much of a right breast. I'm kind of joking, Miss Jackson. It wasn't bad. That's just the beginning, baby. That ain't the end. They're not going to cut it off at the pass. That's a moneymaker. So they're going to mollify the adults, and they're going to mollify all the high-minded ones among us who in private, all the reverends and all of the preachers and all of the mothers groups who in private probably have just closets full of videotape going way back to Russ Meyer stuff. Yeah, that's right. I think pornography is a horrific thing. Well, doctor, isn't it true that you've got all of Candy Sample stuff? I don't think that's any of your business, and I think you have not. Well, isn't it true, sir? I mean, you're seeing pornography. I don't want children to see it. What I do with myself in the privacy of my bathroom, where I do, yeah, I've got a video monitor in there. Are you, is it about me now? Well, I just wonder, are you being a hypocrite? How am I a hypocrite? Look, I love to see, I've got a thing, all right, I've got a problem. But I'm beating myself with a knotted rope that I put those tack-style nails in it, see? So I can flay the skin off my back, and I'll look at some porn, and I'll go, you bad boy, you bad boy, you bad boy. But that's my business. And I think it's terrible, and I think the FCC should do something about it. I think the FCC, frankly, should do something about me. Okay? So could you send them my name and address? Because I'm a sick, twisted bastard, and why you have me on your program, I'll never know. Well, that's what I thought, doctor. You're sounding like a real freak. Thank you. And this has been Issues and Answers with a real freak of a cat who says he doesn't dig porn, and yet he's got it going on multifold. So there you go. Now, if they can find a way to keep the 200,000 people that called the network, you remember there were only 200,000 people that called about the Janet Jackson left breast or the right breast thing. 200,000, that ain't what I call a groundswell, I'm sorry. If they can keep those people happy, then by God, CBS, Fox, NBC, all the networks would put on a show called The Colon Habits of the Stars, and it would be on all of their networks. Their standards, folks, only go so far. When it comes to a freaking dollar bill, those guys will do anything to anybody for any price. That's the bottom line. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. And you say, well, what's that whole thing about people saying, you know, World Trade Organization, the protesters? I don't think those cats are smart, but I will tell you one thing. We are a society where the dollar counts more than the person. That's just where, this is where it is. I mean, we say it's different, but that's where it is. All right, I'm all done. I'm finished. I don't care anymore. The whole thing can go to hell as far as I'm concerned, because Dr. Jeff Dotter is going to be up in just a moment, and he's going to tell us how homosexuals can become straight. He says he has a clinical formula. We'll hear from him in a moment on The Phil Henry Show. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. Also, get a copy of the best of The Phil Henry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio. You can buy it online, or by calling 877-616-7445.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We don't have a lot of time, but we have enough time to talk with Dr. Jeff Dotter, who is the author of a book, an interesting book called Can Homosexuals Become Straight? Is there such a thing as therapy that will help achieve that? And, Doctor, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, Phil. As you can hear, I'm in an operating environment. You can hear the heart monitor, so you can tell I'm a doctor and I'm in a hospital.
Yeah, I can tell that you're a doctor. I know you're a doctor, okay?
And I'm in a hospital, too.
Yes. Is that what that beeping is?
Yeah, that's an operating room and everything.
Okay, so tell me about your work.
Well, it's fascinating work, and it's something I think most Americans need to be aware of. You know, is this a possibility? The answer is yes, it is a possibility. Hold on for a minute, I dropped my pen.
Okay, we're talking with Dr. Jeff Dotter. Can a homosexual become straight?
I'm sorry, Phil, I just dropped it. It is a possibility, and I've done a great deal of work on it. The first thing you need to remember is, first of all, if you feel that you are in this state, you should see a doctor and also limit your exercise, get bed rest. Okay?
So see a doctor and limit your exercise and get bed rest?
Yeah.
If I'm a homosexual.
Exactly.
And that'll cure me?
Well, it won't cure you because, first of all, it's about getting better in stages. It's not going to all of a sudden, you know, what I recommend is you flush yourself with fluids. And a lot of fruits and vegetables, I can tell, you know, I've seen it happen. 8 8-ounce glasses of water a day and a couple of light salads.
And I'm not gay anymore.
That's exactly correct, yeah. Hold on, it's pretty noisy in here, Phil, but they're not operating on a man's heart and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
What?
It's very unconventional.
I have to assist in sewing a guy up. Hold on.
All right, doctor. He's talking about, can a gay person become straight? Yeah, if you flush yourself with fluids and eat light salads. Now,
I'm back.
Dr. Doubter, with all due respect, sir, you're talking about eating light salads. You're talking about drinking glasses of water and flushing yourself and getting bed rest, and you won't be gay anymore.
No, that's not what I said. I said you wouldn't be dehydrated anymore.
Okay, but what's that got to do with being gay?
I don't know.
Let me ask you something, man.
Yeah, and I'm not a man, I'm a doctor.
I know you're a freaking doctor. What has this got to do with homosexuals becoming straight?
I don't know, man.
Did you write a book called How Homosexuals Can Become Straight?
No. I wrote a book on how drinking water can make you live longer.
When I said I wanted to talk about gay people...
I thought you said dehydration.
How did you get that out of that?
Probably just get a dehydration, something like that. Gay? Jesus H, man. You heard enough about that?
Get out of here. Go stitch the guy up. Yeah, man.
...1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, would somebody remind me not to ever, ever, ever write a book? I thought for a while there, and I'm not saying anything, I'll just report the facts to you. But there was a period there, actually, a very nice lady by the name of Judith Reagan... had flown to Los Angeles and actually came to my office. I say actually because she's a publisher. And she's a very renowned publisher. She's published a great many books. She's a tremendously successful person. And she had read an article that a very nice guy had written about our show in the New York Times. And she said, are you interested in writing a book? I said, I'm really not. And why would anybody want to buy a book from me? She said, well, look, Phil, don't worry about the marketing. If you've got a story to tell, I can do it. And she's good at what she does. Didn't she do Rush Limbaugh's book, or is that a different one? She did a bunch of books. She did, like, what's his name? And a bunch of other ones like that. So I said, well, I don't know, you know, but I'll think about it, and thank you. I'm very flattered that you talked to me. And that was 2.5 years ago. And since then, I don't know what I want to write about. But I've dabbled with it, and I've written some notes. And I don't know. Now I see everybody's writing a bloody book. You remember when you had to be able to write a book? You remember those days? Remember they actually had writers? I don't know who you want to talk about. Harold Robbins, Jacqueline Suzanne. I mean, even those people writing their goofy pulp novels, they had an ability to write. Now everybody writes a freaking book. Janine Garofalo now, she's throwing her beret into the ring. She is taking her message to the bookstores. For those about to salute, We Will Rock You, a collection of political essays. What do you mean, essays? Is scheduled to come out this fall. She says this book is like Susan Sontag meets The Onion. I don't, who's that? Not Sontag, who's The Onion? I just wish it were like that.
Oh, okay. She's a, quote, leading opponent of the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq. A leading opponent? She's a famous opponent, not maybe the leading opponent, is focusing her book on the abuse of power in finance, the state of our national consciousness, the failure of the Bush administration, the upcoming presidential election, and a whole bunch of other crap she's going to whine about that nobody gets or understands. And if only we'd listened to the brain surgeons like Janine Garofalo, Mike Farrell, and the rest of these guys, the world would be a much better place. But as it is, we're dumb, and these bastards are going to just usurp everything, and you'll be sorry. Yes, you will. You see, folks, believe it or not, I don't know if you know this or not, but America is in a bad way. See, there's all kinds of money-grubbing, power-grabbing bastards who are just turning this country of ours into a police state. And the next thing you know, it'll just be like Stalinist Russia. Very soon, very, very soon. Unless George Bush and his cronies are stopped, the country is going to turn into Nazi Germany. As in Germany, as in Nazi, as in Sieg Heil, that kind of thing, right? Never mind the historical realities of, let's say, Stalinist Russia, okay? Everybody thinks we're going to turn into some police state. Let's take Stalinist Russia. Do you know how they came about? They had a king, and they had a war where, like, hundreds of millions of Russian men were killed, and then they had a revolution that was bloody and crazy and nuts and a civil war, and that's how Stalinist Russia came about. Well, what about Nazi Germany, Phil? They didn't have a revolution. No, but they lost the World War. They had a decade of utter and complete depression and economic ruin, followed by a disaffected generation of defeated soldiers who were pissed off, and through popular vote and popular disaffection, they voted in Adolf Hitler. He was voted in. Now, do you see anything going on in this country that even approaches economic ruin like the Germans had faced, or a civil war like the Russians had faced? Do you see anything like that? Do you see a disaffected populace so unhappy and so pissed off with the way things are going that we are ready to rip the power structure a new one? Well, I hate to break the news, but Howard Dean just got his ass kicked in Wisconsin, and he's the closest thing to a voice for the disaffected, pissed off, and otherwise just all bummed out people of America. John Kerry ain't it. John Kerry represents the middle of the Democratic Party, a group of people that are, you know, they like the war on terror, but maybe they don't like Bush, but, you know, they kind of like that, they don't like that. You know, right down the middle, baby, gridlock as usual. That's John Kerry. That's George Bush. That's the way we like it. Ain't no, civil freaking war, economic ruin, upheaval. This is a country doing better than 99.999% of the countries on the face of the earth. If we are doing good, nobody's doing good. There is no group of Americans big enough right now, so disaffected the way maybe Janine Garofalo is or somebody else, that they're ready to just take back the country. Now I heard today that Kerry's going to pick Hillary Clinton. Look, I was a big, big admirer of President Clinton's. I was and still am. I'm sorry the whole Lewinsky thing came down. I know it shocked people, pissed them off. I had my feelings about that. I made them known, right? I think Hillary Clinton as a first lady was outstanding. I think she showed that women could be more than just a wife and a person taking meetings with the Girl Scouts of America. People didn't like it. People made fun of her. People, you know. President Clinton, today, I think, still stands as a very solid leader of this country. You didn't dig his freaking Lewinsky thing? Good. Because as far as the rest of it goes, they didn't have a thing. They didn't have anything on Whitewater. They didn't have anything. Not a thing. They looked and they scrapped and they scraped. By God, they tried. They couldn't find a thing. But that don't mean that just because you're going to slap a Clinton on the ticket means that Kerry's going to win. As a matter of fact, I hate to say, break the news, this country isn't ready for a female vice president. Are you nuts? Well, why is that, Phil? Because we don't want females in power when we're in the middle of a crisis. What a sexist ass you are. No, wait a minute. This is essentially a patriarchal society. And especially during wartime, we want daddy in charge. We don't want a woman there. It's just the way we're built. It's the way we are as Americans. Oh, you're calling all the American people sexist? Yeah. Oh, you must really hate people. I don't hate people. I mean, I love people. I'm telling you how it is. How come you're talking to yourself? Because that's what I do. Even when you're alone?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I was downstairs the other day, and I was talking to myself, and some guy was having a cigarette, looking at me like, oh, God, please, God, let me make it to the elevator. Garofalo, a leading opponent of the U.S.-led invasion, is going to write the book and all of this crap. Her previous book, the best-selling... The best-selling? Are you serious? Feel This Book was co-written by Ben Stiller. Well, that's why it was a bestseller. I'm kidding, Ms. Garofalo. I'm sure it was just, you know, And came out in 1999. The 39-year-old actress has co-starred in films including Reality Bites and The Truth About Cats and Dogs. Soon to be in her own upcoming ABC sitcom, Oh, I'm Sorry. So, look, if I say I want to write a book, somebody, please, someone, just give me a tranquilizer, lay me down on a cot. Everyone has written books. You know, and you know who started it all? The comedians. That's who started it all. Tim Allen and Seinfeld. Didn't Reiser write a book, too? Who else? Anybody that was ever funny? You know who ought to write a book is Dave Chappelle. Now, I'd read that. Oh, my God, would I read that. And Carlin's book wasn't bad, although I got to say something to George, and I mean this with the greatest love and respect. How come you're, like, down on everything and everybody? Because that's, like, just who you are? Bull crap. I don't buy it, man. Yeah, America's a real toilet. Yeah, it's been a toilet for 200-plus years, man. It's still the same old porcelain toilet. You know, even a toilet can be well scrubbed and clean. We may be a toilet, baby, but at least we clean it once a week. All right, now coming up, our mailbag, we'll see what kind of email we've gotten. And don't forget, our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. Our website is www.philhenryshow.com. And for just $6.95 a month, you can get all of our archive stuff. All of our great classic comedy is in there. Long-form stuff, short-form stuff, all kinds of stuff going back years and years and years and years through many generations of the Phil Henry Show. It's all available. And we have the largest collection of our own material on our website than any radio show in the world. Why? Because we got tons of great material. So it's there for you. And only $6.95 a month gives you access to all of it. So visit our website soon. By the way, while you're there, go to the souvenir shop. We are plugging our very special Ash Wednesday gift, the Tens of Beverly Hills barbecue set. And this thing is beautiful because it's got, you know, the spatula, that deep spatula. You can put like three burgers on that baby. It's got that serrated edge so you can scoop them up and flip them. It's also got the nice big steak turning fork. It's got hot dog tongs. And may I suggest, as long as you're getting these, you know, the barbecue set, get yourself the Ted's of Beverly Hills apron, too. And you'll be in full bloom and regalia for Ash Wednesday. Set it to the Catholic of your choice. All right, that's the Phil Henry website, www.philhenryshow.com. Our mailbag is next.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Time now to look into our mailbag on The Phil Henry Show, and here's the mail that we've... You know, we get a lot of mail, but some of it is so foul, so vile, so obscene. Janice gets so interested in reading it that she forgets to put it into our folder. Dear Phil, I just saw your editorial monologue on Dennis Miller's show on CNBC, and I only wish it could be repeated once an hour, 24-7, so that all those cupcakes, beefsteaks, and the cronies, too, will not miss it. Well said, well done, and we can only hope it really is the beginning of the end of these extremely overpaid princes of hallucination. My wish is you're right, Vern Craig. I guess I have to tell you, I did a three-minute monologue on Dennis Miller's CNBC show about what we talk about on this show all the time, and that is the day of the athlete being over, the fact that they're not the important contributors to society that we think they are, the fact that professional sports particularly is the single biggest reason, not the only reason, but the single biggest reason why minority men, African-American men, Hispanic men, are still underrepresented in other professions like medicine, law, science, etc. It's because the message is loud and clear from professional sports. This is where you belong. This is where your heroes are. This is where you guys can bust into the mainstream. This is the wonderful world of Disney.
seemed like an appropriate way to end that thing because the music. All right. Hey, Phil, everyone, every once in a while you refer to opening up Alaska North Slope to oil development as a way to decrease our dependence on raghead oil. Just so you know, the North Slope of Alaska is one of the nastiest places on the planet, and I invite any of those tree-fondling, posy-sniffing, psycho-ceramics to spend 2 days out there in the summer. They'll be crying for their mamas the first hour because of the mosquitoes and no-see-ums, and be calling for a Wilson Pickett on the deck. Oh, that's white phosphorus napalm, a Wilson Pickett. That's a, well, that's a NOM reference. I remember. If we'd rather spend the next 50 years protecting raghead oil patches than developing our own reserves, we are even more screwed up than you let on. Small Bob, Alaska. Oh, yeah, Small Bob. That's the guy who keeps bugging us about getting extra large shirts. Dear Phil, your short but sweet oral dissertation on the origins of metal as a product of slavery in our society was remarkable. While the blues musicians sang out of physical oppression and slavery, I feel the metal artists of today, such as Nine Inch Nails or early Metallica, have tapped into the spiritual slavery many people feel we are in. I don't know what it's like to be in physical bondage, but I know how our culture can lure and trap people into spiritual change, which imprisons the mind. Your show rules, metal rules, Sam. Well, wait a second, Sam. Now, wait just a minute, man. Look, metal is, like every, metal is youth-oriented music. And really what metal is it's more about the angst and alienation of youth, which is shared, which is kind of a shared sensibility with slaves. Not that they were, you know, alienated from their parents, but they were alienated from the larger culture. And I think kids are kind of the same way. I don't know that it's like, you know, I don't, does metal represent the 50-year-old militia head? I don't think so. Some cat that's out there in the middle of Montana who's taking target practice on Barbie dolls, that guy's like, he's going to go home and listen to Sirith Ungle's Standing in Blood? Yeah, I doubt it. You know. All right. What's that band you like, Chris? What's the, what are they called? What's the name of that?
Korn?
Well, not Korn, dude. I know. But no, the new band you were telling me.
Oh, Brides of Destruction.
Yeah, that new one you were talking about. Brides of Destruction. You ever heard a band called Paw?
No.
Oh, they're great.
Is it like black metal?
They're a metal band, and they were singing. The name of the band was Paw, and the one video I saw, they were singing about their dog. It was something like, Lucy, you're a good girl. Anyway. Hi, Phil. Love your show. Blah, blah, blah. I like your take on bullies. I used to be a bully in grade school. My mother smacked the crap out of me, and I would go to school and in turn smack everyone else on the cheek. I continued to do so until this lady comes up to me in the hallway and asks, are you Catherine blah, blah? And I answer yes, and she backhands me across the face. She was one of the mothers of the girls that I had slapped. Holy mother of God, I was scared crapless. I never hit anyone again. I was scared their mothers were going to come up and whack me one. I learned my lesson. Too bad someone didn't come up and smack my mother, Catherine. By the way, that's my daughter writing in, and finally, this is a long one here. My name is Stephen Shields. I am a professional hockey player for the Florida Panthers in the National Hockey League. I caught Phil's performance on Dennis Miller tonight, and I just wanted to let you guys know that it was so refreshing to hear what Phil had to say about professional athletes. It's very frustrating for me to listen to all the bullcrap that comes out of most of my peers in the NHL and other pro sports. It's like we reward these guys for being dumb, obnoxious, self-centered idiots. There are so many other people in this world that deserve to be rewarded with our praise and acknowledgement when really all we actually do is get up, go play a game for a few hours, and then decide what to do with the rest of the day. That's not to say what we do is easy. It's not, but come on. Being able to jump high or run fast should not give these clowns the right to chime in on every social and political issue du jour. I'm sick of getting advice from some moron wide receiver or retarded point guard. That's not even mentioning the drinking, girls, and lack of accountability we get to live with. Not that I'm resistant to that type of behavior some of the time, but at least my moral compass isn't so up that I would deny it and then tell others how great I was. Anyway, if that is how you approach your show, I'll definitely start listening. Keep up the good work. You're very entertaining. Steve Shields. You know, now that I hear him describe his life, I take it all back. Jesus. Drinking? Girls? So did we have any... Now, first of all, before I say that was really Steve Shields, I don't even know if there's such a guy.
Goalie.
And do you... Or he is a goalie, but I don't know if that was him writing the letter. How do we know? You see, Janice, you can't... Just because
no,
I sign it President Bush, it doesn't mean...
He's a hockey player. Hockey players...
Hockey players don't lie?
No.
Oh.
Oh, Jesus. This is, let me tell you something, I lived in Miami for years. Do you know the clowns down there that crank and send crank emails? Like that William Shatner email we got. You know, I love you, Janice. You know, I was talking to her. I said, you know, Canada, it's a kind of an interesting thing. She goes, why? I said, well, it's this big country and just 30 million people. Now, how do you get any sense of community and cohesive, you know, nationalism from this enormous space and just 30 million people? She goes, well, you know, it's kind of like that. You're right. And I said, and you're so sweet and innocent. And she said, you're right. I said, and you dumbass, you think this is Stephen Shields, huh? Janice, honest to God, you know that some people write in and say, hi, I'm Janice Ngero, and I think that, you know, all children should be beaten with, you know, pipes. Now, they could say they're you, and it ain't you.
I just believe sometimes you have to put your faith in some people, and I put my faith in Steve Shields.
Well, I'd say that's one hell of a statement, and I think that that's worth at least four seats to a Florida Panther game coming up in the near future. Player seats. Okay, Steve? How about that, baby, huh? Yeah, man, I'll hold my breath on that one. All right, Steve Shields of the Florida Panthers, if you didn't write that letter, I apologize, dude, but it's actually pretty good sentiment. Basically what the guy said, if you're just tuning in, Steve, is that all hockey players blow. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bob Green is the CEO with Fraser Foods, but also has an avocation. He wants people to appreciate their lives. And to do that, he wants them to see sometimes the pain in life. And so in order to do that, when he's driving on the freeway and he sees an accident, he slows down and purposefully makes everybody behind him slow down. He has a big rubber, foam rubber number one finger, and he wears a Dr. Seuss hat, and he points to the accident as if to say, count your blessings.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You're a damn liar.
Are you talking to the host or to me, sir?
I'm talking not to the host, I'm talking to you.
I'm a liar.
I'm telling you, you're a damn liar.
I'm a liar, huh?
You damn liar.
You see me driving around in a cat in the hat with the big
foam rubber. I want to tell you something. I've been on the road for over 35 years. I'm on the road right now. I pulled over just to talk to you.
No, you couldn't have been on the road for 35 years.
I've been on the road for over 35 years.
You can't, because you've got to pull over and get gas and sleep. Ha ha,
hey,
it's a joke. It's just a joke.
Oh, come on, will you knock it off with the jokes?
Hey, I don't want no joke here. I'm just going to tell you the facts. The facts are that you're not going to go down here to an accident and a highway patrolman, a local police officer, or somebody from an ambulance is not going to let you stop, and they're not going to tell you what the hell is going on.
Well, I would suspect as much as myself, Jim. How do you claim that that happens, Mr. Green?
I can tell you that I've had police officers shake my hand and say thank you for taking...
You're a damn liar. If a police officer, all they do out here is they want the traffic to keep
moving.
And
I'd like
to know, not want it to stop.
What police agency are you talking about, Mr. Green?
One of the police departments.
Which one, sir? Because we'd like to know which police officers are shaking your hand to say thanks for taking interest.
It was the California something.
Highway Patrol?
It was not the California Highway Patrol.
No, it wasn't the Highway Patrol.
It wasn't the local police officer.
It was the California Metropolitan Police.
I don't believe that.
Who are they?
I don't believe you whatsoever.
What I do is...
I've never in my life...
I tell him I'm Dr. Seuss and I want to hang out.
Well, are you trying to tell me that you drive up to an accident scene wearing a Dr. Seuss hat with a big foam rubber number one finger, and the cops are happy to see you?
They understand why I'm there, to save lives and to point
out... They understand that he's haywire. There's something wrong with him.
You know, the next time you pull up to an accident scene, Mr. Green, wearing a cat in a hat hat and a big foam rubber finger, they're going to put you at a Tascadero, which is the criminally insane place up here in California. You know that, don't you?
They'll probably put him in the ambulance and take him off.
How come you two guys are familiar with where nuts go? Have you been there yourselves? Go straight to the hot ring.
Well,
he hung up. He hung up.
I'm glad he did, up. Because the guy's haywire. He's lying. He's an ambulance chaser is what he
well,
is.
Well, you know, that's the whole thing. These looky-loos and these guys who want to slow everybody down. Now, look at this. He's called back. Sir, I don't like being hung up on.
You know what it is?
I didn't mean to hang up on you, but I wanted to tell you, gentlemen, that I start the conversation with the officers by saying, green eggs and ham, and Sam I am, and they shake my hand because they enjoyed that as a kid.
Well... You know,
he's
I
nuts.
Think
he's
I think whatever you want is just to see blood out there.
That's what you want.
The officers do not want you to slow down and look at the accident. They
even
want you to keep moving.
Even after I say green eggs and ham.
If you said green eggs and ham to them, they would lock you up.
They'd put you in a nut bin, and you know it, Mr. Green.
Oh, yeah, they would put me in the nut bin.
Hey, you know something, Jim?
Yeah,
what do you know about it? You know what? Why don't you pull my big...
And you're not CEO of any store.
Hey, why don't you guys both pull my big orange finger?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Green eggs and ham, Sam I am. And the guy is out there slowing people up in traffic? That's Robert Green, CEO of Fraser Foods, and he's out of his mind with that big foam rubber finger. Well, there you go, folks. Flashback from our show. Our number on the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And, ladies, the sports world is a very, very tough place to break in professionally. As a matter of fact, in the state of Colorado, they've got at the University of Colorado or someplace like that, they have a scandal, just a small scandal. A woman claims that she was sexually harassed and raped as a member of the Colorado football team. Was she a member of the Colorado football team, Janice? Well, there's a picture of her here kicking for New Mexico. Did she transfer out? But her name is Katie Nita, or Hanita. And she said during the season, players exposed themselves to her at least five times. She said they'd go, hey, Katie, check this out. One player came up from behind, he says, rubbed his erect penis against her. She says five teammates surrounded her and verbally abused her, making sexually graphic comments. Sometimes the entire team was huddled up. Players stuck their hands on her crotch or groped her breasts under her shoulder pads. She endured more abuse than one person should have to bear, former teammate Justin Bates says. Even as she practiced, players called her vulgar names and one fired footballs at her head. Why didn't she tell the head coach? Because I was terrified, she says. He didn't want me around in the first place. I thought for sure he'd kick me off the team. The worst was yet to come. One summer, she was watching TV at the house of a teammate. He just starts to kiss me, she recalled. I told him that's not good. Next thing I know, he's on top of me. I told him no, but he just kept going, shh. I tried to push him off of me, but he outweighed me by 100 pounds. She says he lifted her skirt, pushed aside her panties, and did it. She was a virgin. The phone rang. He reached for it. She slipped out from under him and ran. Why didn't she go to the police? She says, I was scared of what he might do to me, and I didn't want a huge media mess. I was carrying around so much inside of me, I was numb. You know, whether this story is true or not, and again, you're accusing people of things. You got to have some proof, and the best way to prove it is to go immediately to the police and report it. But whether it's true or not, let me just say this. This is what we talk about on our show. This is what people are referencing the whole Dennis Miller thing that we did. If you want to bust into the professional world, the worst place to start is sports. Because those are the dumbest clowns you're ever going to meet. In other words, you can find in America today women that are CEOs of businesses, women that own businesses. You can find women who are top-notch salespeople, top-notch doctors, many women who not only are terrific attorneys, but they own their own law practices. There's a lot of places where women have made inroads. Sports...
Well, these guys, you know, you're dealing with a group of individuals in professional sports, I'm talking about now. And now, of course, we can say with pretty fair confidence, college sports as well. I mean, look, there's a this idea that somehow these guys are getting college educations. You realize that's a load that is just, what's the old word? That's a dog that won't hunt? Well, that's a load that won't flush. You've heard the term a dog won't hunt? That load won't flush. I'm going to start, you know, replacing it with that one. First of all, they don't graduate anybody when they're playing football. These dumbasses come out of there barely able to read or write. They're still at the level of playing with blocks. You think I'm kidding? I'm not engaging any kind of hyperbole. These guys that come out of colleges, that play football in colleges, are at the level of playing with little kitty blocks. That's where their heads are at. They can't read, they can't write, they can't spell. When they sign a contract with a professional team, you know how they used to say, make your mark, the old miners? These guys just put, duh. That's right, Igor is pretty good. He has a hell of a nose tackle. Yeah, I understand that. But Jesus. All right, go ahead, make your mark, Igor.
Igor, make mark.
Good. What is this guy, man? He's from Siberia or something? Yeah, he's great, though. Look at the size of the guy. 8'2", 623 pounds. He has got 1,600 sacks last season, and he killed 6 quarterbacks. They're dead.
Igor McMark. Igor want Cadillac.
That's right, Igor. You go on in there and you talk to the guys. Are you his agent? Yes, I am. I'm his agent, and nobody can change that. I've got this guy ironclad, okay? Have you got the contract on you? Yeah, oh, Jesus, he didn't make his mark. Come here, Igor, you got to sign a contract with me, too.
Igor not want you as agent.
Well, you dirty...
Igor kill you.
These are the dumbbells, ladies. Do you want to go into sports? What do you think's going to happen? You've got some of the emptiest heads in the human race in sports. You heard the Bobby Hull story. I told it on the air. I said it on the Dennis Miller Show. I said, Bobby Hull, who is one of the all-time dumbasses ever to have strapped on the old skates. You know what they like to say in hockey? You ever tie on the skates? Yeah, huh? Sure have. Bobby Hull's tied on some skates. He's tied on a whole lot, man. He's beaten up women. He's slapped pucks. I don't know who he's hit harder, man. Slap shots or his wives? These people are all animals. Do you understand? And if you think that you're going to get bust into the world of sports and have some kind of an equal shake, I mean, at least in the rest of the world, they're paying some kind of lip service to the idea of equality. In sports, they don't want to know about it. It's the most regressive area of society. They're homophobic. In many areas of sports, they're racist, particularly hockey and golf. Oh, Jesus, Phil, that was unfair. Hockey's got 2 whole black players. Isn't that great? I'd like to talk to some of those black guys that play hockey. I bet you they got a real interesting story to tell. I bet you they got the N-word and all kinds of crap shouted at them. And golf? Oh, my God, are they any dumber than golfers? You got that alcoholic John Daly. You got the bunch of... These guys are so socially regressive and so cretin-like and living in a cave and scrawling their names on the side of a latrine that these cats, up until the 80s, were still having golf tournaments at clubs that didn't allow Jews or blacks. In the 80s! It took a player named Tom Watson to say, my wife's Jewish. Yeah, what's that got to do with anything, Mr. Watson? I'm not going to play in the tournament. I don't get the connection. Wait a minute. Are you the commissioner of golf? Yes, sir, I am. Okay. My wife's Jewish, and we're having the tournament at a club that doesn't allow Jews. Okay, we're not asking your wife to play, sir. I'm not talking about whether you're asking my wife to play. And how about that Vijay Singh? You got a lot of room to talk about his remarks on Annika Sorenstam. He don't want to play with no chick, huh? You know, there was a time, Vijay, when a guy wouldn't want to play with you. Little dark. They like their meat a little whiter than that, you know? There was a time when people would say, you're not allowed on the course, boy. Where do you get off talking about, oh, I get it, he's not black, he's Indian. Well, look at folks. You ever heard of a man named Mahatma Gandhi? He got his ass pitched off of a train once. As far as they're concerned down in South Africa, that guy was black. So this woman comes in, injects some excitement into the game of golf for the first time in centuries, it seems. I mean centuries. And he don't want to golf with it. I mean, this is the kind of mentality you're dealing with. Do you really honestly think you're going to make a place? Any woman that has the guts to go into sports, professional or otherwise, has got my sympathies and my respect. Honest to God. I sat with a very good friend of mine. I was in his home. A friend of mine is a trainer. He's a horse trainer. And has been for many years. And one night I was over at his house. There was a party or something. And I was talking to a woman who was a jockey. She just busted in a couple of years. I think, and I was telling Janice about it, I think she'd given up, and I can't remember her name. Really physically fit, really ripped. I mean, you should have seen the arms in this. She said it was unbelievable what she had to put up with to get into horse racing. Those jockeys, you know, they may look small. Those guys are some tough, tough dudes. Those cats, you don't bust into that world, man. So, look, folks, when it comes to sports, ladies, you're not dealing with a real bright group there. And I ain't talking just about the players. The owners, the managers, the whole group of them. Stupid as the day is long. But I do like Mike Socia, the Angels. He's a great guy. And he emceed our little auction at our kids' school. Mike, you're okay, man. And the Angels are my team this year. But the rest of baseball can rot. All right, our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Oh, this is beautiful. Oh, this is... Many people are building gyms in their homes, buying exercise equipment. Hey, fatso, it ain't gonna make you any skinnier. Look it, pal, if you can't get up off your fat ass and go down to the gym, what makes you think you're gonna go in... Well, it's closer. Yeah, you're gonna sit on the couch... eating endless supplies of chocolate-covered graham crackers, feeling freaking guilty, man. Just because you got a treadmill in your house, take it from me. You're not going to get in any better shape now than if you had to go out to the gym. Personally, I agree, though. Going to local gym is stupid. Ooh, God. Ooh, is that funky. I'd love to... man, I'd love to let you in on some facts about my life in local gyms, but... some of you may never want to shake hands with me again. Ken, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes, sir, fine.
Just driving through your town's channels and heard your comments on all sports figures being animals, and I thought that was pretty much a moronic comment. You know, there are some bad apples in sports.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting, Ken? You know what's interesting? If I had said the same thing about politicians, you would have just kept right on driving and not called me.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah,
I don't like
it.
I know. No, I wouldn't.
You would.
Look,
you would. I mean,
no,
I know how to
you don't know me. You don't know anything about me.
Well, you don't know anything about me.
Tell me what I do. I listen to what you said. You said all of them are animals.
They are.
And I don't like it when anybody groups any group of people together.
Well, I'm doing it with athletes. They deserve it. They've been given a free pass.
There's several athletes out there that are good quality.
Yeah,
people,
good for them. You know what? How come everybody's got to talk about all the good that athletes do?
Are you a pill popper like Rush Limbaugh? Because
it ain't about me, Ken. It ain't about the talk show host, man. It's not about the talk show host.
You're
the kind of guy that makes it about the talk show host. You know? What are you sleeping with an athlete, man? Because you haven't shut up yet.
They're all the same type people.
Yeah, just shut up, you freaking hick. Jesus H. Dude, you don't win the argument by just talking. That's not how you win the argument. You win the argument by making a point. And the point that I'm making is athletes have been given the free pass for a long time. Athletes have been told that they're this, that, they're great. They do so much good, and you shouldn't judge them. Well, I'm judging them. I get so sick and tired of hearing about athletes doing this good and that good, and they do this and they do that. You know all the people out there that are doing the good right now, nobody ever gives a crap about them, writes about them, talks about them. And if I say one bad thing about an athlete, I'm being very unfair. There are people out there right now who are doing everything for the human race, not getting paid nickel one, but when some big, stupid athlete, and when I say stupid, I underline that word, lends his name or 2 hours to a hospital, or walks in and smiles and shakes the hand of some kid in a wheelchair, and then cuts a huge, fetid fart, and then walks out, I think that cat... you know, he ain't on the list of my good Samaritans. He's a manipulative turd. You could take Warren's. You could take every one of those guys that ever got their pictures taken, shaking hands with some kid, and you can stuff it. Show me some of these the heroes out here that I don't hear about. Show me the people that are teaching adult literacy, that are collecting food for food banks, that when they get off the work, then they go down and they counsel alcoholics. There, nobody's giving them a freaking article in a newspaper. I said it on the Miller Show, and I'll say it again. You sports writers are the most gutless group of human beings that it has ever been my misfortune ever to even come within 100 miles of. You gutless wonders. All you know how to do is lick the asses of athletes. Yeah, sure, you write something critical, but then when you're in the locker room, man, you're all kisses and hugs, aren't you? You guys never written anything substantial in your lives. Why don't you start writing about the stuff that I've been talking about for 3 freaking years? No? Well, then let me recommend CortiSlim for all of you fat slobs like me. It's taking off the inches. Oh, I'm sorry, I gotta go.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.